Throughout our research, we were continually reminded of the hardiness research studies done by the International Committee for the Study of Victimization. These studies looked at people who had suffered serious adversity, cancer patients, prisoners of war, accident victims, and so forth, and survived. They found that people fell generally into three categories: those who were permanently dispirited by the event, those who got their life back to normal, and those who used the experience as a defining event that made them stronger. The good to great companies were like those in the third group, with the hardiness factor. When Fannie Mae began its transition in the early 1980s, almost no one gave it high odds for success, much less for greatness. Fannie Mae had $56 billion of loans that were losing money. It received about 9% interest on its mortgage portfolio, but had to pay up to 15% on the debt it issued. Multiply that difference times $56 billion, and you get a very large negative number. Furthermore, by charter, Fannie Mae could not diversify outside the mortgage finance business. Most people viewed Fannie Mae as totally beholden to shifts in the direction of interest rates. They go up and Fannie Mae loses, they go down and Fannie Mae wins. And many believed that Fannie Mae could succeed only if the government stepped in to clamp down on interest rates. "That's their only hope," said one analyst. But that's not the way David Maxwell and his newly assembled team viewed the situation. They never wavered in their faith, consistently emphasizing in their interviews with us that they never had the goal to merely survive, but to prevail in the end as a great company. Yes, the interest spread was a brutal fact that was not going to magically disappear. Fannie Mae had no choice but to become the best capital markets player in the world at managing mortgage interest risk. Maxwell and his team set out to create a new business model that would depend much less on interest rates, involving the invention of very sophisticated mortgage finance instruments. Most analysts responded with derision. "When you've got $56 billion worth of loans in place and underwater, talking about new programs is a joke," said one. "That's like Chrysler, then asking for federal loan guarantees to stave off bankruptcy, going into the aircraft business." After completing my interview with David Maxwell, I asked how he and his team dealt with the naysayers during those dark days. "It was never an issue internally," he said. "Of course, we had to stop doing a lot of stupid things, and we had to invent a completely new set of financial devices, but we never entertained the possibility that we would fail. We were going to use the calamity as an opportunity to remake Fannie Mae into a great company." During a research meeting, a team member commented that Fannie Mae reminded her of an old television show, The $6 Million Man with Lee Majors. The pretext of the series is that an astronaut suffers a serious crash while testing a moon landing craft over a southwestern desert. Instead of just trying to save the patient, doctors completely redesign him into a superhuman cyborg, installing atomic-powered robotic devices such as a powerful left eye and mechanical limbs. Similarly, David Maxwell and his team didn't use the fact that Fannie Mae was bleeding and near death as a pretext to merely restructure the company. They used it as an opportunity to create something much stronger and more powerful. Step by step, day by day, month by month, the Fannie Mae team rebuilt the entire business model around risk management and reshaped the corporate culture into a high-performance machine that rivaled anything on Wall Street, eventually generating stock returns nearly 8 times the market over 15 years.